Cincinnati Edition is working on a show in the run-up to the midterms, and we need your help. What are the top issues on your mind this election? Call us at 513-419-7100. Leave your name and a message. We might use your comment on a future show. The Cincinnati Planning Commission in June approved a new historic district in North Avondale, bringing the proposal an important step closer to reality. But some neighbors are opposed to the idea, and it's not a done deal yet. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to discuss the proposal and what it would mean for homeowners are North Avondale Neighborhood Association Historic Designation Support Chair Don Johnson, North Avondale resident Ian Rexrode, Cincinnati's Urban Conservator Doug Owen, and Suter LLC Managing Principal Sean Suter. Thank you all for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Doug, how much of North Avondale would be part of this historic district, and what would it mean just briefly for the homes that are included in that if it passes?
So it covers a fairly large portion of the neighborhood. It's not the entire neighborhood, but it is a significant portion of it. And it's basically the boundaries were developed based on the development patterns of that neighborhood. So all of the properties within the district share similarities in terms of architectural styles and dates that the houses were built and things like that. So there are conservation guidelines that are considered as part of the district that would regulate how changes are made to existing buildings and also regulate how new construction occurs within any vacant lots around the district.
Okay. And Dawn, I know you've been advocating for this for years. Why do you think it's needed?
Well, it's needed to preserve the architectural and historic integrity and character of our neighborhood. We want to promote responsible development in our neighborhood. And, you know, we want future generations that grow up in our neighborhood to enjoy it in the same ways that we have.
Mm-hmm. Sean, I know this application is for a local designation. What's a local designation designed to protect?
It's to protect a particular geography of the city, an area that has some sort of architectural significance or some sort of historical significance. So that describes the North Avondale neighborhood around Rosehill Drive perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Rex, your home is within this proposed district.
Yes.
Do you think this designation is needed to preserve this historic character? What do you think about this?
No, I don't think that it is, because most of the rules in the 23-page conservation guidelines, they incorporate over 100 pages of federal preservation bulletins. They affect how people will manage their homes currently. It has nothing to do with new construction. It has nothing to do with demolition. We're talking about affecting what colors you can paint your front door, where you can install an air conditioning unit, whether you can have an EV charger, whether you can make your home something that works for you and your family today, something that meets your needs and fits your personal preferences.
Doug, I saw you shaking your head a little bit there. Do you want to?
Well, I think there is some misinformation out there. Currently there are no regulations on what can be done with any of these properties based on, you know, the character of the building. There's no historic protections on it. And the guidelines are really written to help guide change that happens in that neighborhood. So things like paint colors aren't regulated in the district. You know, as long as the building has already been painted, we're not going to require approvals for changing the color of your house or things like that. There are some regulations for mechanical equipment like AC condenser units. We don't want them in the front yard. But, you know, there's no prohibitions on having them in the side or the rear, whether or not something that's very prominent in the district. So that's my, you know.
Yeah. What about EV chargers? So many more people are trying to get into electric vehicles. Would that be covered in this, Dawn?
I think that would be Doug, do you think that would be
something? Yeah, it's similar to AC condensers, okay, like mechanical equipment. We allow all those things. We just don't want them to be something that's right out in front of the property and very prominent.
Yeah.
Right in your front yard. Yeah.
Rex, you have expressed some concern, I know, in other interviews that you've done, that this designation, if it's approved, could make owning a home in this part of North Avondale more expensive for homeowners. Can you talk about that a little bit, your thoughts on that?
So we hear Doug talking about what will be approved and where things can and can't be, but the process in that matters. In order to install an EV charger anywhere on the exterior of your home, you'll need to go to the city to ask permission. And that permission costs money. It's about $150 for what's minor and then $650 for something major. And there's no clear guidance as to what is minor, what is major. So you may pay the small amount and then realize, oh, no, I've paid the higher amount. And then there's delays in the project while you wait for that permission to come back. And it essentially gives the city a veto as well. We say generally things will be allowed on the side and backyards, but nothing in the guidelines says you may absolutely install an air conditioning unit on your backyard. You may absolutely install an EV charger on your backyard. It says you must get permission from the city, and that permission could be denied. So we're talking about homeowners who have ideas about what they want to do with their property, things that they need. This regulates wheelchair ramps and other accessibility for the disabled that would be outside the home. This regulates all sorts of things, the color and material of windows and many, many other aspects on the exterior of your home, where you can paint a mural if you wanted to put artwork on your home. That still needs to go through city approval. It needs to go through Doug's office or the Historic Conservation Board. That adds money, it adds time, and it ultimately gives the city a veto in what you can do on your own property.
We're talking about a proposed historic district in North Avondale. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Sean, you are not a party to any of this. We have you here because you used to work for the city. You do not have a dog in this fight, but I know you understand the process for all this. How complicated is the process for doing work to your home in a historic district? And can these historic materials or requirements, can they be more expensive for homeowners?
Yeah, this is the age-old debate about historic preservation, and that is it's a shared sacrifice, right? So your neighbor is giving up the ability to do something. You are giving up the ability to do something for the common good of the entire district, right? And you've defined the district based on architectural integrity or architectural significance or historical significance. And so everyone's come together to agree to say, look, I'm going to give up my right to put in cheap vinyl windows and put in and be required to put in more expensive windows for the good of the entire district, for the good of everyone in here. And so, yeah, it can add a process, and it can add time, and it can add expense. I think that's the shared common sacrifice of living in a historic district. That's why we don't have historic districts over the entire city, because that would probably create too much of a burden for everyone in the city. We're choosing particular areas of the city that have the significance that the city has come together and said, hey, let's preserve this.
Yeah. Don, does North Avondale Neighborhood Association have a way to help homeowners who might be worried about these added costs for, you know, applications they might have to file or whatever if this historic designation happens?
Yes, we currently have a fund that we've established. It's a $5,000 fund, and we do know that that's not much, but we are working to build on that. And, you know, we want to make sure that we have all of the resources available to help our neighbors and to make sure that they are not disadvantaged by this district. So we have the fund available. We are in talks with PwC to come up with a grant program. And also we have the support committee so that we can help our neighbors through the process and help to answer any questions they may have.
Mm-hmm. Ian, is that affordability? I mean, how big a concern is that for you?
So that's a big concern. I think $5,000, it's not going to go very far. It is a pretty small sum of money. It would cover less than the cost of 8 reviews at the Historic Conservation Board. And there's 370 properties within the district. So without some sort of knowledge or promise that this money will continue, the district's rules will continue in perpetuity. This doesn't expire. So $5,000 is not going to be any help at all to our neighbors who are on fixed incomes, to people who are less privileged than the people who have the time to come to this room and sit here and have this conversation today, and other people who are more at the margins but are still just our neighbors and have been part of the North Avondale community for a long, 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 long time.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a caller on the line. This is Vice Mayor Jan Michelle Lemon Kearney. Hey, Vice Mayor, thanks for calling. Did you want to weigh in on this?
Yeah, so I'm the sponsor. I was at a North Avondale Neighborhood Association meeting a year or so ago, maybe 2 years ago, after the Connected Communities Ordinance was passed. And the association was talking about tools they could use to make sure that they maintain the wonderful historic look and feel of North Avondale. And so historic preservation is one of those tools that the city has provided so that neighborhoods can grow, there can be more development, more housing, but that the neighborhood does not lose its look and feel, which is the reason many people move there in the first place. And so I think that this group, the NANA group that's been working on preservation, has done a real good job of listening to some of the concerns and addressing them and making modifications. I love the fact that there's a fund to help with the fees. There's a support group to help people through the process. And, you know, if there are more changes that have to be made, I'm sure everyone is open to that. The point is to preserve the neighborhood look and feel so that the neighborhood still has the kind of look that it wants without making it onerous for the residents and the owners there.
Okay. Well, thanks so much, Vice Mayor. We appreciate it. Always great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening. Okay, Dawn, is this proposal related to the city's Connected Communities zoning plan? Do you see a connection there? Is this designation kind of in response to that?
I wouldn't say that it's necessarily in response to, but there are some connections to it, right? the Connected Communities legislation ultimately gives the out-of-town developers, big developers, carte blanche to come into our neighborhoods and tear down buildings without the permission or without permission from the residents that live there. And so what this is in response to is to an issue that we witnessed in Walnut Hills with this Hoffman situation, where there was a developer who wants to tear down this school, this beautiful historic school. And in response to that situation, the council asked that, you know, they recommended, they said, listen, if you don't want to go through this, if you don't want your historic buildings to be torn down, make sure you get a historic district. So that's what it's in direct response to. But yes, there are some connections. There are some reasons why we are concerned with the current legislation. And, you know, and therefore we believe that the historic designation, the historic district is very much so necessary for our neighborhood to preserve it.
And that's the Hoffner School that you're talking about in Walnut Hills?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Ian, what about that? Or do you have concerns that these, you know, out-of-town developers could come in and start knocking down beautiful properties? And
now, that's certainly something that's possible. It's something that we have not seen in North Avondale. Whether we will start to see it following Connected Communities, I think that's an unknown. It's certainly a risk. But if that's all that this were going for, then we would see maybe two pages in the conservation guidelines that talk about demolition, that talk about new construction. Instead, we see things that talk about how you have to clear leaves from your downspouts, how you have to have a specific recipe for mortar if you are repointing your brick, rules about enclosing a porch that you already have or adding a fence. These are all things that have nothing to do with new development, nothing to do with people who don't live on your property, and all about things that you as your own property owner are trying to do to meet your own needs. And if you fail to follow any of these rules and get the permission needed, then you've committed a first-degree misdemeanor. That's up to 6 months in jail, $1,000 a day in fines that are behind this. And according to the city code, you commit that crime the second you do the unauthorized replacement of a front door. It says that if your door is damaged, you have to ask city permission to replace it instead of repairing it. That's a choice that we've had in North Avondale for over 100 years. Now we need to go to Doug's office and ask him for permission to replace a front door.
What about that, Doug?
So yeah, if you're replacing a front door, you do need a certificate of appropriateness in order to do that, because we do want to see the door that's being put in to make sure it's appropriate. There's no restrictions on repairing a door. Obviously, we want you to repair original material if that's an option. There's also no charge, no COA that's required for general repair and maintenance work. That is all considered not a change to the property. You're repairing original material that was already there. So so there's not going to be any fees for that kind of work. And, you know, It's generally the same process as what happens through non-historic districts. You need a building permit or you need a certificate of compliance for more minor things like fences. In this case, you need the certificate of appropriateness rather than the certificate of compliance, but it's the same fee for that type of thing. So, but we do want to review any new material that's going on the property to make sure that it's compatible with the district's character.
Sean, what about these fines and penalties that Ian was just talking about? I mean, that sounds like it could add up pretty fast.
Yeah, there have to be remedies for the city to enforce these regulations, and they have to have some teeth associated with them. I was joking with Doug earlier. I don't think Doug has thrown anybody in prison this year for historic preservation violations, but it does allow the city some sort of cause of action to come after a violator and to enforce the rules.
Which I think is absolutely beneficial, and for the record, this isn't, you're not going to go to jail. It would take a very long time and multiple offenses. And, a lot would have to happen for somebody to go to jail. So I do want to clear the record. That's not something that is in the foreseeable future for anyone in the historic district. So we have to be careful about the words that we use and be careful not to spread fear over something that we have a lack of understanding about. So that's really important to address in terms of this preservation in this district, because I would never support something that could potentially send, someone to jail for painting their door white.
Did you want to add on that, Ian?
So that may be how things are normally done, but that's not a promise that Don can make. It's not a promise that Doug here can make. The city code says if you violate the rules, if you make any change without getting the appropriate permission, then you have committed, you are guilty of a misdemeanor of the first degree at that very instance. And so maybe Doug isn't referring a bunch of people to the prosecutor's office, but he can't promise that tomorrow he won't change how his office operates and say, all right, we're not playing with warnings and polite phone calls. I'm just going to send everybody into court. And he's also can't control the people who take his office next. He can't control the police and the prosecutors who could bring charges even if Doug doesn't want them to. And we're also seeing other governments bring these things into the fore now. Right now, the federal government is taking uncharged state crimes and using them as basis to take immigrants' visas, to cancel permanent residencies, and even in a few cases to try to denaturalize citizens based on state crimes that were uncharged. And then people said, no, I have not committed a crime on one of their pieces of paperwork. And then it turns out the federal government is now saying, well, you did, even though the state didn't charge you. So it would be nice to know that the way things are is the way they will always be, but that's not something anyone in this room can promise.
Don, how much support does this have among North Avondale residents?
It has overwhelming support. There's only a very few amount of people that are opposed. From the beginning, we've had overwhelming support for this district. And as a matter of fact, some people have come to us and they've said, how come, my street isn't included? How come my house isn't included? They want this. They understand that that the neighborhood that we're living in is beautiful and the architecture is one of a kind. So they respect that and they know the importance of preserving that. So we've had overwhelming support. There's about 13% of our neighbors that are opposed.
And Ian, I know obviously you are opposed to this. Mm-hmm. You've talked in other interviews about possibly being able to opt out or having that opt out option. Doug, is that something that's possible in a historic district like this?
No, not really. The intent of the historic district is to capture this contiguous area that shares that same character, and that's how the boundaries are defined. So there's not really an opt out process if individual property owners were able to opt out. It would just create a patchwork of properties that would be very difficult to manage within one specific area.
Okay. We are running out of time, unfortunately, but Sean, this goes to City Council next, right?
Sure does.
Okay.
August.
Okay. Well, we'll have to watch out for that. I've been talking with Don Johnson, Ian Rexrode, Doug Owen, and Sean Suter. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director is Carlos Lopez Cornu. I'm Lucy May. Thank you so much for listening.